a phone book to a Gen Zer. You have to explain. It's a book that doxed everyone.
I'm Peter Sagal. If you know any young people, explain to them that a radio show is like a podcast that everybody listens to at the same time and you can't pause. And invite them to join us for this week's Wait, Wait, the News Quiz from NPR.
Sunday morning at 10 on Radio Catskill.
This week on CatsCast, a roundtable discussion with the creators of We Be Griots, a new series from the Margaret Wade Lewis Center focused on Black narratives from the Hudson Valley.
And that's a heavy burden to have to carry, but what you resist persists. And so it's like we're resisting having the conversations. If we resist learning about it, then we don't get past it. We just stay stuck.
Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on Radio Catskill.
On this week's On the Media, the New York Times sued the Pentagon to get its reporters back in the building and won. The Pentagon said, not so fast.
A spokesman said yesterday an area of the building known as Correspondence Corridor, which reporters have used for decades to cover the DOD, will close immediately.
Don't miss this week's On the Media from WNYC. This afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Hi, everyone. This is Greg. I have interesting friends who are always up for a good conversation about the things we should be talking about together, to cut through the noise, to get to the truth, to learn and inform and inspire, to make our little world a bigger place in Sullivan County, in New York, in the USA, and around the world. Today, we're traveling all the way from Narrowsburg, New York, to Narrowsburg, New York, to talk about design, creativity, music, change, and intentional change. It's time for Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where are we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Our guest today is Pedro Beauregard, a master jeweler who began his career in Munich and later worked for Tiffany & Company in New York, where he collaborated with designers like Paloma Picasso and Elsa Peretti. In 1983, he established his own line, eventually relocating his workshop and studio to Narrowsburg, New York. Pedro's work is known for its sleek balance and attention to detail. His pieces are both elegant and cool. He emphasizes bringing each piece to its best, ensuring a sense of completeness through meticulous details like embellishment on all sides of a necklace. In recent years, Pedro has also explored music, composing original songs, performing locally, and recording, inspired in part by his vision loss due to macular degeneration. Pedro, welcome to Travels with Triggs.
Hi.
So much to talk about. Let's start with what inspired you to go into design and lead a creative professional life.
Well, I hated school from the first day on, and my poor mother had to live with it. And so I was a while in school, and then I said, no, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to go on stage like my parents and, play the guitar, sing and dance and whatever. And she said, okay. She said, but do me a favor, learn a trade so you have something to fall back onto. So what do I learn? I had nothing in particular, but somebody suggested jewelry. So I said, well, I always made little things and worked with my hands. Why not? So I found an apprenticeship with Hemmerle Munich, which is the best jeweler who was around at that time, and learned there. And then 3.5 years, that was an apprenticeship. And then I started also, I did folk songs, but songs from original countries. So I learned the songs in Russian and whatever, Hebrew, Yiddish, God knows whatever, came along, French, Italian. But then I first lived a few years in England, in London and Nottingham, and then went to New York in 1974. And New York was... the whole folk music scene had moved to Laurel Canyon in Los Angeles, and New York was in the grip of disco fever. And I loved to dance, and I was out every night and landed a job with Tiffany, so that wasn't too bad either. And so it went into that direction. And so I kind of went into the jewelry field. and didn't do much with music at that time. Yeah. So I had then my showroom and workshop on Madison and 53rd. And then that building came under the wrecking block. I moved into my house, my country house in Narrowsburg. And then later I opened a store on Narrowsburg Main Street.
Well, you know, we always say whether it's Munich, London, New York City, all roads lead to Narrowsburg, New York.
Of course.
And so what is your favorite part of the process when you look at bringing precious metals and stones and style all together? What is your favorite part of that process?
Well, I like to be hands-on. So I really love to sit there and just carve wax or work with metal. They're just very beautiful materials to work with. I mean, gold and silver and whatever. And stones. And like I say, but the intensity of doing things is, I have the same intensity of working in my garden or decorating my house. Or it's the same thing to me. There's nothing accidental. You think everything through. If I did my patio or if I work on some jewelry, it's to me a very similar thing. And in general, I forget everything around me.
So is the ultimate goal the pursuit of beauty?
Yes, I would think so, yeah. Basically, every time I do something, I want to outdo myself. So, you know, it's kind of like, what can I do with this? You know, I have something. Say, now, what do you do with this? How can you change it that it comes really out, that it looks its best? Yeah. I mean, I always had a knack for putting metal colors together with stones. People say, oh, you have the best stones. No, I just knew which color to put with it. And if the right one came, it went like kaboom, you know, the stone or the pearl or whatever almost jumped at you. Yeah. But this kind of experience is very enjoyable when this happens. I mean, this can be anything, really. And I always preach to my employees. I said, listen, you know, if you don't do 150% of what you do, and that depends, it doesn't matter what, don't do it. Don't even bother. Because that is what is really important, that you really do whatever you do. But I mean, of course, that was naturally wonderful materials to work with, yeah, and so I had a lot of fun doing it, yeah.
So when you look back on all the pieces you designed and all the things you've brought into the world, I'm curious, what is one of your favorite pieces that comes to mind, the one of which perhaps you're the most proud?
Oh, that's hard to say, because sometimes it is things which are not very obvious, which are the ones which you're really proud of. And not proud, it's the wrong word. I'm always amazed about the things. You know, I look in my showcase and I say, you did this? It's almost like, I have the same thing with the music. It's almost like they begin to have their own life and you are more an outsider looking at it. You know, it's more like what comes through you than I invented it. Now, I am proud on my expertise working with tools, and that is really what I worked on, that I knew how to use tool filing and whatever, that we're really good at the craft. But what comes through is something, I don't know, it's you work and then you go like, oh my God, where did this come from? Yeah.
So is it a matter of it revealing itself to you, yes, almost?
Yes, yes. It's kind of, yeah, when you say what you are most proud of, that's very hard to answer because, like I say, I can take credit for working on my craft and being able to what comes through, bring it into being, so to speak. Yeah. But, and that was always, you know, my goal. I have a vision of something coming through and say, how do you make that best? And so you had to learn to learn to learn to learn.
Well, let's change the question a little bit then and say, how do you hope the world looks back on your work as a jeweler?
I got a postcard from somebody and said, dear Pedro, I don't know if you remember me, but I bought 17 years ago, I bought this little egg, blah, blah, blah. And I love it to death. I could never afford it. And it has been a piece which has followed me my whole life. And I just it's part of me. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is where I would say where I'm most successful. When people find something which they can identify with and say, oh my God, you know, I just love to have this on my wrist or this on my, you know, like one lawyer, she said, Pedro, I don't go into a courtroom unless I have your pin on my lapel. Yeah. So that makes me happy. Yeah.
Is that lawyer a prosecutor or a defender?
I really don't know.
It's probably best that we don't know. And so now let's talk about the transition you've been going through. You were diagnosed with macular degeneration, which of course affects one of your primary skills or needs as a jeweler. How has that process?
Well, that was about a good 7 years ago, yeah. And I mean, that was really from one day to the other, more or less. And all of a sudden, everything I loved, I couldn't do anymore. Yeah. I couldn't see detail, and everything was detailed for me. Again, if it was a house, a garden, the jewelry pieces, buying stones, buying pearls, doing this, finding antiques, whatever it is, it's detail. Yeah. And that was suddenly gone. And that was quite a shock to the system. Yeah.
And what was the process of accepting that and making choices within the situation?
Well, first you get, of course, you're very depressed. And that is a very natural reaction, I would say. But for me, it was, and you know, and that literally happened. And I also told the story on stage, and I was sitting right here where I'm sitting now and was cursing under my breath, kind of saying, you know, damn it, you know, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do. Then I said, listen, this doesn't get you anywhere. How about making a list of things you might be still capable of? And of course, there came the guitar to mind. I said, well, you wanted to write songs. That's what you wanted to do originally. Can you do it? So I went and got the guitar and started playing. And this line came into my head. I don't know what made me do it. And 2 hours later, I taped the song downstairs on my dining room table on my phone. And I sent it to a friend and he said, you wrote that? I said, yes. He said, but that's good. I said, why do you say but? You know, but it was one of those things, you know, then naturally the question comes, can you write another one? But that's how this started. Then the next morning I said, now you have to. They said, no, you don't have to. At this stage in your life, you can, but you don't have to. So I said to myself, whatever you do with it, it will take another 5, 6, 7 years. And then you have a body of work, because you can't do anything without a body of work. Yeah. This one song and come. So anyway, so that happened. Yeah. That's what I did. But it was hard. It was very hard. But to write, I really love writing. And that really, you know, took my mind off. It's an entirely different life, an entirely different life.
Well, we're going to hear more about that new life in just a couple of minutes. So while you don't have to stay tuned, I suggest you stay tuned to Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Travels with Travels with Triggs.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, I'll talk with the actor John Lithgow, who's on Broadway playing the author Roald Dahl, whose anti-Semitic statements caused an international scandal.
His anti-Semitism is obvious, like a leaky car battery. It's just in between the lines, in some cases just explicit.
John Lithgow joins me next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
Artificial intelligence is everywhere, answering internet searches, writing emails, even making music.
Most people, I think, kind of want the short-term advantage and don't look at the long-term disadvantage. Like, that's what happened with social media. People gave up their privacy. People could have opted out, but most people didn't.
I'm Deborah Becker. Is AI really making our lives better? And at what cost? That's on the next On Point.
Monday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
On This Old House Radio Hour, got bees? Calling a beekeeper may save the colony and some money.
If you hire a professional beekeeper, usually those honeybees go back into our food system.
Plus, Seinfeld writer Spike Ferriston takes us back to the Hollywood Hills house where life unfolded. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour.
Sunday morning at 7 on Radio Catskill. never thought he'd grow. Morning town, New York bound, still wants you, but he'll never turn around. On bus and highway, leading east into the rising sun, leaving behind his land of old, another blonde and blue-eyed kid which didn't fit the mold. The morning town, New York bound, still wants you, but he'll never turn around. Turn around. Some will make it, some will thrive in city, country and time. Some it will break and some will die. Concrete jungles break. But you won't lose heart and won't give up but try. Morning town, New York bound, still loves you. He'd never thought he'd go. Morning town, New York bound, still wants you, but he'll never turn around. A sorry land which can't embrace and doesn't understand its riches lie in its differences. And cities gain when it rejects its brightest and its best. Morning town, New York bound, still wants you, but he'll never turn around. Turn around. Some will make it, some will survive in city, country, and side. Some it will break, and some will die. Concrete jungles break. But he won't lose heart and won't give up but try. Morning town, New York bound, still loves you, he'd never thought he'd go. Morning town, New York bound, wants you, but you'll never turn around.
And we are back. Travels with Triggs, talking with Pedro Beauregard. And before the break, Pedro, we started talking about your transition from jewelry into music due to your macular degeneration. But you also said it would take about 7 years to have a body of work. And indeed you do, because you just released an EP called Traveling Light, which is some of your original songs. And that is available on all streaming and downloadable platforms by searching Pedro Beauregard with two A's. So tell us, why is the title Traveling Light?
I don't know. It lends itself somehow. We had these four. We recorded more. We recorded 10 songs, but we chose those four for the EP. And the name just came. The same like the cover picture came, which was a painting a friend of mine had purchased from a friend in 1985. And it was hanging behind me on the wall. And I said, this is just it, you know. It is also because I think the songs, there are four different songs. And for me, I'm not kind of the country singer or the blues singer or the bossa nova singer. Or it's more that I use a certain type to express what I'm writing. Yeah.
And with the term light in the title, do you mean physically light, or do you mean light in its literal sense, sunshine, things like that?
I think more that traveling light is more like a suggestion more than anything else. You know, don't hold on to it too much.
All right.
Because, you know, you come with nothing, you go with nothing. Okay.
And we talked about your primary goal being creating beauty. So how is the approach for writing music different than your approach for making beautiful jewelry?
It isn't. It's just, you know, of course, now I can't do much more other things. So, I mean, I played a lot the guitar, so I really improved and I was really amazed because I'm not a spring chicken. So, I mean, you still learn, okay? And that wasn't a problem at all. Well, you try to do, again, something beautiful or something which touches people, or it is about emotion, I think, really, isn't it? I mean, it is, you look at a piece of jewelry or you look at whatever it is, a landscape or a picture, or you hear a song, and it's what it evokes, what makes you think, or you want to hear it again, or you don't want to stop looking at it, or, you know, it's how you touch people, yeah. And I mean, I never thought I would perform, you know, but people ask me. And then first I thought, listen, I was 77. Then I said, I'm not going on stage at 77 yet. And then I think about it. So I did think about it. And then I thought, well, what holds you back? Yeah, is it pressure, which is absolutely acceptable? Or is it just you don't want to step out of your familiar, out of the box, so to speak, out of your familiar surroundings? So I said, well, there's only one way to find out. Do it. Yeah. So it was quite a funny thing because over 50% of the audience were ladies who were wearing Beauregard jewelry. So there was a camaraderie already in the audience, which was naturally very favorable for me as a performer. So it was a lot of fun. Yeah. But it is the same thing. It's you touch people in a certain way and they hadn't expected that. So they were kind of like, wow, I got a stunning ovation. Of course, I couldn't see it. Somebody said, you have a stunning ovation. I said, oh, really? How nice. Yeah. So I thought it was very successful. But naturally, I also realized how much I have to learn. Yeah.
Do we? You have any performances coming up?
Not at the moment, no. We just released this song, Maybe. And there will come more, I think, two singles we will do, and which are quite different from each other. And then also a video to one of the songs, 200 times. And then we hope for an LP, for a whole CD. So with, you know, between 12 and 16 songs or something.
And what advice, based on all of your professional experience, all of your passions, and having navigated this change due to your vision, what advice would you have for people about navigating changes that are beyond their control?
That is hard to say because situations are very different. I mean, I was in that lucky position that I could make choices. And, you know, people always tell you, said, oh, follow your passion. This is very easily said. But let's not forget that the majority of people has to scramble just to bring the daily food on the table. That's very hard to make choices, Benya. You are forced to do what you had to do. But I was lucky there. And I also had the guitar and I had been playing. So it filled a void which suddenly was created through the eye problem. Yeah. And on top of that, I love writing. It's I really love it. It's much less strenuous than making jewelry. Yeah? And you can do it anywhere. But I would say, you know, not to be scared, I think it's one thing. Life goes on. It has a very weird way of unfolding if you let it, I think, in certain things. And of course, you have to make all the decisions. Yeah, you, and then also to stay positive. It is one of the most important things, which is a hard thing and sometimes a daily chore.
Well, I find it very inspiring that despite macular degeneration, you continue to have a vision for your life. So,
what choice do I have?
Let's end things with one of your beautiful songs. Thank you for joining us today, Pedro.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to the audience. Now, sit back and enjoy some of Pedro's music. Remember, his EP is called Traveling Light. It is available on all platforms by searching Pedro Beauregard with two A's. And we're going to close things out by listening to one of his singles, called Maybe.
Yesterday's done, tomorrow's out of hand, but today we can love forever. In a short time, we'd come a long way, traveling. Life moves in circles without any. I'm hoping with every bend to see you again. Maybe one day, maybe. Yesterday's done, tomorrow's out of hand, but today we can love forever. We lost our way and didn't remain, traveling. Quickly fly by. I want so much to believe that we'll again unite.
This week on This American Life, M. Gessen comes back to our show with a true crime story that happened in their own family.
She wrote, "I beg you please to help me get my son back, or to at least speak to him. Please do not tell them I have written to you. If you are unable to help me, then just ignore my message."
That story, by the way, comes from Serial, the people who literally invented the true crime podcast. That's this week.
This American Life, tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill. WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.